Welcome back, everybody, to another deep dive with us.
Yeah, always exciting to be back.
Today we're going to be exploring a ballad.
Okay.
It's called The Confluence of Fire and Ice.
Interesting.
Yeah. And from what I've gathered, it's less of a straightforward love story and more like a poetic enigma.
Oh, I like that.
Wrapped in a fiery riddle or an icy one, maybe both.
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. It's definitely more like a riddle than a straightforward narrative.
Definitely.
And I think what's so interesting is that we're not really dealing with like well-defined characters like in a traditional love story.
Right.
We're dealing with embodiments of abstract forces.
Mm.
You know?
Okay, so less like Romeo and Juliet.
Exactly.
And more like abstract expressionism meets, I don't know, passionate tango.
Something like that.
Yeah, I'm intrigued.
It's a lot of fun.
So let's talk about these symbolic figures. Who are they?
Well, we have Dave.
Okay.
And he's described as a verbal architect.
So he's a wordsmith.
Oh, yeah. He builds these just stunning, you know, elaborate declarations of love with his words.
Oh.
It's like he's constructing cathedrals of infatuation with language.
That's quite a visual.
But here's the paradox, and this is what makes it really interesting. The more intense his feelings become, the more his expressions of desire turn into this corrosive tide.
Uh-huh. Interesting.
It's like this self-sabotaging element.
Yeah, so he's brilliant.
Yeah.
He's eloquent, but he's almost cursed.
Totally.
When it comes to actually expressing genuine affection.
It pushes people away.
It's painful, yeah. You know? And what about Matilda?
Oh, Matilda.
What force of nature does she embody?
She's described as this sculpted idol. You know, like captivating, alluring.
Okay.
But with this definite edge, like a rose with thorns.
Right.
She embodies beauty and danger all at once.
Interesting.
And her story, I think, is even more tragic because there's this perversion paradox that she's constantly up against.
A perversion paradox.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with that term.
So in this context, it means that her attempts at expressing genuine love and affection are constantly being misinterpreted.
Right.
They get twisted and distorted into just mere physical desire.
Wow. So people only see her outward beauty.
Yeah, exactly.
They project their own desires onto her and they completely miss the depth.
It's the depth of her emotions.
Of her emotions and the authenticity that she's actually offering.
Again.
That's got to be so frustrating.
It is, yeah.
You know, to be so consistently misunderstood, to have your true self overshadowed by other people's projections.
A very lonely existence.
Yeah, it's incredibly isolating. So we have this incredibly potent mix.
Yeah.
Right? We have Dave the wordsmith battling self-sabotage and Matilda radiating this genuine love that's tragically misread.
Mm.
How do these two opposing forces collide?
Well, their meeting isn't depicted as like a chance encounter, you know?
Right.
It's just described as the inexorable current and inevitable convergence.
Mm.
It's almost like the universe itself wanted to bring these two together. Yeah, it's written in the stars kind of thing.
It really makes you wonder if their differences.
Yeah.
The fact that they're such opposing natures were actually the things that drew them together.
Right.
Like opposite poles of a magnet.
I think so.
Intrigue.
He's this master of language.
Yeah.
You know, and she's this embodiment of physical allure.
Right.
So it's like this classic, you know, dynamic tension.
And their first encounter.
This is interesting.
Takes place in, of all places, OnlyFans.
Yeah.
The ballad refers to it as their digital Eden.
What a loaded term.
Such a loaded term, right?
Right.
What does that tell us about their initial connection?
Well, I mean, on the surface level, it might seem like just a purely physical space, right?
Right, yeah.
A realm of desire and, you know, visual gratification.
Mm-hmm.
But remember, we're dealing with the confluence of fire and ice.
Right.
Symbolism and layers of meaning are everywhere.
So it's not just about the literal act of being on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
It's about what it represents. I'm with you. So OnlyFans becomes this metaphor for a space where facades are stripped away.
Right.
Where people present their true selves.
Yeah. Desires, vulnerabilities, without the filters of societal expectations.
So it's a digital space where authenticity and desire, however unconventional, can flourish.
I think so.
It's interesting.
It is.
But isn't there also a sense of risk and vulnerability inherent in such a public display of desire.
Totally.
It's like this digital Eden while liberating also exposes them to misinterpretation and judgment, right?
Of course.
It highlights this double-edged sword of online self-expression.
Yeah, that we're all grappling with today.
Yeah, the freedom to be oneself, but also the risk of being misunderstood or exploited.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Very much so.
This blend of liberation and vulnerability in the digital age.
Yeah.
So their journey begins in this digital Eden,
right?
A space of unfiltered desires and potential pitfalls. Where does their story go from there?
Well, the ballad then takes us to their first dinner date, described as a feast of words.
Ooh, a feast of words. So not just dinner and a movie.
Not.
This is a battle of wits.
Yeah, a verbal seduction.
Interesting. And Dave's carefully chosen phrases. I mean, these become his weapons.
Yeah, they intoxicate and disarm Matilda.
He's not just talking, he's seeing right through her.
Uh-huh.
He's understanding her in a way that it seems like no one else has.
And the ballad actually describes his gaze as glacial.
Hmm.
This intense, piercing look that seems to just melt away her defenses.
So how does Matilda, this sculpted idol, respond to this potent combination of words and this penetrating gaze?
Well, she does something pretty bold.
Okay.
She undresses.
Wow.
And the ballad calls this an offering of flesh.
Interesting.
She's presenting her body as a sacred text to be read and understood.
It's like she's saying, here I am in my entirety. See me, understand me beyond the surface.
Exactly.
Powerful.
Yeah.
And Dave's exploration of her body is described as a ritual of desire.
I love that.
It's a reverent act of deciphering the language of her skin.
Yeah.
Seeking to understand her at the deepest level.
Really interesting how they're taking these acts and elevating them.
Right.
Imbuing them with meaning beyond the purely physical.
It's beautifully done.
It is.
So they've moved from the digital realm of desire to this incredibly intimate, almost sacred encounter.
Uh-huh.
It's just the beginning of their story, right?
Oh, you're absolutely right. This is just the tip of the iceberg.
Okay.
Their story, like the confluence of fire and ice, it's about to get a whole lot more complex.
I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be good. So this idea of Dave sculpting Matilda as a vessel for his legacy.
It's unsettling. It makes me think about Pygmalion. You know?
Right.
The sculptor who falls in love with his own creation.
Yeah, that's a great connection. And the ballad doesn't really shy away from the ambiguities of their relationship.
No, it doesn't.
On the one hand, Dave is cultivating Matilda's mind.
Right.
Nurturing her intellect.
Mm-hmm.
But is that genuine?
Right. Is it manipulation?
Yeah. Is he really interested in her growth? Or is he shaping her to fit his own vision?
Yeah.
You know,
to carry his ideas forward even after he's gone.
It's so interesting that the ballad leaves that open to interpretation.
It does.
I think that's part of his brilliance, you know?
Right. It makes us confront uncomfortable questions about the nature of influence.
Exactly.
You know, that fine line between inspiration and control.
Yeah, especially in a relationship where there's such a clear power dynamic.
Right. And it's interesting because the ballad doesn't just explore their personal dynamic.
No.
It tackles this broader societal context.
Right.
You see this especially in how the world reacts to their brainchild.
Uh-huh.
You know, those ideas they develop together.
Yeah.
Matilda becomes this prophetess.
Right.
Trying to share their work, but she's constantly met with the same frustrating misinterpretations.
It's like society can't reconcile her beauty with her intelligence.
It is.
They're so focused on her physical attributes that they just completely miss the depth and value of her ideas.
They reduce her to a caricature.
Yeah.
This beautiful object devoid of substance.
Right.
They completely ignore the intellectual and emotional labor she's put into this work.
It's the perversion paradox all over again.
Right.
Genuine expressions of love and intellect twisted and misinterpreted as mere physicality.
It's a powerful commentary on how societal expectations, especially for women, can be so limiting.
Absolutely.
So reductive.
It makes you wonder
if
Dave was so intent on shaping Matilda as this vessel for his legacy. Did he ever truly see her as an equal, as a partner in creation?
Or was he maybe subconsciously perpetuating the same societal patterns he claimed to be challenging through his art?
It's a really thought-provoking question.
It is. It makes you reevaluate their entire relationship.
This is what I love about the confluence of fire and ice.
Yeah.
It doesn't offer any easy answers.
It doesn't.
It just gives us these complex questions to wrestle with.
About love, power, legacy.
Uh-huh. And the struggle to be seen and understood.
For who we truly are.
Exactly. And to think we're just scratching the surface here.
I know, right?
There's so much more to unpack.
There is.
But let's just pause for a second.
Okay.
What resonates most with you so far?
For me, it's the tension between creation and legacy.
Okay.
This idea that we all leave some kind of mark on the world,
We do.
whether we intend to or not.
Yeah.
And like Dave and Matilda's story, those legacies are often complex and nuanced,
Right.
open to interpretation and misinterpretation.
And sometimes both at the same time.
Yeah, it's humbling,
It is.
but it's also incredibly inspiring.
I completely agree.
It makes you think about the legacies that we're all building,
Yeah.
the impact we're having on others, and the stories that will continue to be told long after we're gone.
The stories that live on.
Exactly. I think it's time we delve into the final act of this ballad.
Okay, let's do it.
Explore the lasting impact of this relationship and see what wisdom, if any, we can glean from their fiery, icy tale. So we've explored their digital Eden, right? We've witnessed their feast of words. We delved into the complexities of their legacy.
It's a lot. What lingers?
What's the lasting impact of this collision of fire and ice?
I think one of the things that stood out to me was this idea that love, even in its most unconventional forms, is still such a potent creative force.
It really is. It's amazing how it can ignite inspiration for fuel artistic expression.
And as we've seen with Dave and Matilda, it can give birth to ideas that outlive the relationship itself.
Their brainchild, it wasn't just a product of their intellect,
Right.
but something that was forged in the heat of their connection, you know?
Absolutely. And it makes me think about the creative process in general.
Yeah.
You know, it's rarely neat and tidy.
Right.
It often rises from chaos, from friction.
The clash of opposing
The
forces.
clash of opposing forces, exactly like the concept of entropy, you know,
I love that.
disorder giving rise to new forms of order.
It's brilliant.
It's so true. So maybe the turbulence of their relationship was actually like a necessary ingredient.
For their creative breakthroughs.
I think so. It challenges our romanticized notions of how creativity happens.
Yeah, it's not always about finding perfect harmony.
Right.
It's about embracing the dissonance, the
The
tension,
stuff that makes us squirm.
the things that make us uncomfortable. Exactly. And I think the ballad also reminds us that this creative energy, whether it's channeled into art ideas or even just how we live our lives,
Yeah.
it has the potential to become a legacy.
It does. But legacies like love itself
Right.
are rarely straightforward.
They can be misinterpreted, distorted.
Absolutely used for purposes far different from what we intended.
Like Matilda,
Yeah.
the prophetess, facing those persistent misinterpretations, you know?
It's so sad.
Her message was overshadowed by societal perceptions of her beauty.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking, you know?
It
It's
is.
like this reminder that even the most profound ideas can be drowned out by the noise of prejudice and superficiality.
Which I guess highlights the importance of critical thinking. You know, questioning assumptions, recognizing that there are always multiple layers of meaning at play.
Which is exactly what we've tried to do with this deep dive.
Exactly. We haven't just accepted the ballad at face value.
No.
We've questioned, we've analyzed, we've debated, and through that process,
Hopefully.
arrived at a richer, more nuanced understanding.
Fingers crossed.
So the confluence of fire and ice,
Yeah.
this ballad, it's not just a love story.
It's more than that.
It's an invitation to engage with complexity.
To embrace the messy, the paradoxical,
Of things that defy easy categorization.
the gray areas.
The gray areas, exactly.
I like that.
And maybe that's the most lasting impact of Dave and Matilda's story.
What's that?
This reminder that even amidst the fire and ice, the chaos and the heartbreak,
Yeah.
there's this profound beauty in the human capacity to create,
To love,
to love.
to leave a mark,
To leave a mark on the world, however imperfect
or misunderstood.
or misunderstood it may be. Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into the confluence of fire and ice.
It's been a journey.
It has. What insight sparked your curiosity?
What questions are you left with?
Go out there, explore, and remember to always look beneath the surface,
That's where the good stuff is.
because that's where the real treasures lie.